How close are we to a deal that would raise the debt ceiling?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. Happy Friday. I'm Steve Chiatakis. At his third news conference in 2 weeks today, President Obama acknowledged it's going to be hard to put a big package together to raise the nation's debt ceiling, a package that he says would utilize a balanced approach. But Mr. Obama says he's waiting on the other side.
If they show me a serious plan, I'm ready to move, even if it requires some tough decisions on my part.
Marketplace's David Gura is with us live from Washington with the latest. Good morning, David.
Morning, Steve.
So that news conference just wrapped up a few moments ago. The president underscored the Congress has, what, a day or a day and a half to tell him what's on the table, what's realistic there. Are we any closer to a deal?
Well, there aren't any negotiations happening today between the White House and the leaders of the House and the Senate. In fact, earlier this morning, the Speaker of the House, John Boehner, held a news conference of his own. And he told reporters what the president's put forward so far just isn't good enough.
There is no reason for this debate and this discussion to go past August the 2nd. All it takes is a little courage to actually cut spending and put America on a path to fiscal sanity.
And that's been the big stumbling block, Steve. Republicans say there's no way they're going to consider any tax increases, and President Obama wants to combine tax increases with spending cuts.
Of course, August the 2nd, that deadline for the default in the debt. What if they can't reach an agreement by then? What's plan B?
Well, there are a couple floating around, but the one that's gotten the most traction comes from the Senate Minority Leader, Republican Mitch McConnell. Basically, Congress would give the president the ability to raise the debt ceiling three times over the next year and a half, so he'd get all the blame or all the credit, depending on how you feel about the issue, not Congress. Steve, as President Obama said, we should have a better sense of how this may shake out, what's realistic, in the next day or two.
All right, we'll find out. Marketplace's David Gura in Washington. David, thanks.
Thank you.
Let's do the numbers. Markets are higher right now, slightly higher for the Dow, up 17 points at 12,454. The S&P and NASDAQ each up about a third of a percent or so at the moment. American consumer sentiment fell this month to the lowest level in more than 2 years. Some other numbers folks in Los Angeles are watching closely today. 405, the freeway that's going to shut down tonight at 10. 53, the number of hours the freeway will be closed. And 78, the temperature outside this weekend, at least around the 405. So walking should not be a problem.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. By IBM, working to help mid-sized businesses become the engines of a smarter planet. Learn more at ibm.com/engines. And by Putnam Investments, recognizing the value of financial advice since 1937. Putnam Investments, a world of investing.
Orange juice prices are the highest they've been in a couple of years. Consumers are used to paying, of course, more money for trendier drinks, but orange juice, really? Sally Herships explains.
We are running low on juice. Orange juice, that is.
Inventories in the two largest orange juice producing nations, Brazil and the United States, are at record lows.
Citrus economist Bob Norberg says a nasty disease has hit Florida and Brazil, affecting a tenth of the orange crop. Then there's Florida's weather extremes, from freezes to hurricanes. Judy Gaines Chase is a tropical commodities consultant.
Grove owners have been so battered. Their costs have gone up tremendously.
Gaines Chase says during the housing bubble, a lot of Florida citrus farmers became developers. They converted their groves into condos, which means even fewer oranges.
The market continues to go up and up and up, but consumers are balking at the high prices.
Perhaps Americans who are drinking less orange juice. But Florida Department of Citrus economist Bob Norberg says demand for America's iconic morning drink is growing around the world. I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
Well, the final installment of the Harry Potter series opens today in theaters. Worldwide, all those Potter films have made more than $6.5 billion, or at least that much. But with no new books or movies planned, how long can the boy wizard keep conjuring up a lot of profits? From station KPCC, Sandon Totten reports.
Believe it or not, Harry Potter is over the hill. Or at least the brand is, according to marketing professional Susan Ganelius. She wrote the book Harry Potter, the story of a global business phenomenon. She says every brand hits a peak and then declines in value.
So the challenge for the Harry Potter brand right now would be finding ways to slow that decline cycle.
Ganelia says J.K. Rowling and the Potter marketing team are off to a good start. Last month, they unveiled a website called Pottermore, a place where fans can test out digital spells, get sorted into Hogwarts houses, and buy ebook versions of the Potter saga.
This is a brand that can't decline significantly anytime in the near future. There's too much invested in it from the corporate perspective.
Ganelius guesses that even with no new content, Harry Potter has at least 10 years of solid profits left. After all, Warner Brothers has DVDs and movie merchandise to sell. Universal Studios spent over $200 million on its Wizarding World of Harry Potter theme park. And of course, there's the mom-and-pop wand shops.
We sell probably about 50 to 100 wands per week.
That's Stan Golden, owner of a Potter-themed gift shop in L.A. called Whimsic Alley. Golden says he opened the store when Potter fever was sweeping the nation, but he thought about closing it last year.
The last book had already come out. There were a couple more movies set to come out, but I didn't know what would happen after that, whether there would be any longevity in this franchise.
But instead of closing, Golden expanded into a bigger building, and he says sales keep climbing. But even Golden wonders how long it'll be before a chapter titled Harry Potter and the Point of Diminishing Returns. Of course, if you ask 16-year-old Madison Mojica, who was checking out the wands at Whimsic Alley, Potter vendors have nothing to worry about.
We're the Harry Potter generation. It's never going to die for us.
If fans like her turn out to be right, the spell could last for decades. I'm Sandon Totten for Marketplace.
And finally, Gentleman's Quarterly magazine's come up with this list of the 40 worst-dressed cities in the country. A couple of those included Portland, Oregon, where the magazine says you might see someone wearing a purple cape at a trendy hotel. Which city is number one, you ask? Boston. GQ says with its baggy pants and flip-flops and hair gel, Boston is, quote, like America's bad taste storm sewer. Ouch. Their words, not ours. We love Boston. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles, which is number two on the list, by the way. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Know your customers. It's basic. So for American firms going to China, here's a tutorial.
You know, a lot of these are migrants. They'll move from these cities, striking it big. They've got their college education, and it's kind of empowering. And so we're trying to capture that in terms of how we are positioning Chevrolet.
I'm Kai Rizdal. What you need to know about the biggest market on the planet. It's our series, The 5-Year Plan, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.